This is the EWN Radio Network. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur. We're always glad when you're here with us. I appreciate the time that you invest in us. Today, we're going to make you a better parent. By the time you're done listening to this episode, you will be a better parent. That's our promise to you. But it's also the challenge that I've then got for us as we go through today with you. Some of you know my background. You know, I was a single parent of five kids for about 4.5 years. So I've been through some parenting. I have a total of 6 kids. My oldest is mine by adoption, the youngest mine by adoption. The 4 in the middle, as I like to say, they're my fault. and the truth of the matter is that parenting is the most rewarding, most incredibly grueling, most wonderful, most awful thing in the entirety of the world. Anybody that has children know exactly what I mean. They know that the highest of highs come from those moments when your dear, precious children say something to you. They look at you and they say something like, "I love you." I mean, it just melts our hearts. Everything that's happened, everything that is, everything that was, just kind of melts away in that bliss of that moment when, like I said, they're just so precious. And then, of course, there's other times where we're like, oh my gosh, are you ready to move out, go to college, and have to start paying your own bills? We've all been there. It's just part of being a parent and an opportunity that none of us that have children would ever trade, and a chance for us as parents to all come together and really challenge one another to be better at what we do. You know, there are so many skills out there and so many books that have been written. I mean, I love, I've quoted this so many times. Dr. Naramore writes in his book, I believe it's Temper Your Child's Tantrums. He says, such a funny quote. He says, the best way to parent a child would be to put the child in a box with a hole in it, you know, to feed them through. And then when they become teenagers, plug the hole. Now, I'm sure somebody out there that's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that. But all of us that are parents know that moment when, other than being the chauffeur, being, you know, the bunt of all of their anger, we look at ourselves, we look at our spouse, and we say, why did we do this again? I know we were so excited when this child was coming, and now not so much. You know what I mean? So today, we want to talk to you about the art, and it really truly is an art, the art of blissful parenting. How to parent and still live an incredible, peaceful, yes, that's right, I said the word, blissful life as a parent. And so that your children have a wonderful, incredible life too. I want you to have that. And during this episode, we're going to give you some skills that can help you to deliberately, on purpose, raise your skill level, up your game, and be a better parent. And I'm not going to do this on my own. Like I said, I've been a parent of 6 kids, but I am not the expert in this field by any stretch of the imagination. So I have brought in an expert to help us learn the art of blissful parenting. Join me in welcoming Sharon Ballantyne. Hi, Sharon. How are you today?
I'm really good, Steve. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I tell everybody the radio show is like my guilty pleasure. And some days I have to remind myself it is actually an integral part of our business and not just something that I'm doing for fun.
Lucky you, though. You get to do fun things.
Well, you know, the old saying is, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day of your life. And I'm not sure that I'm totally at that point, but I do absolutely love it.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your journey. I mean, we're going to talk about your book, which is pretty amazing, actually, about stress-free parenting. I'm looking forward to that. But tell us just a little bit about you. Obviously, you must have had some stressed parenting beforehand, but, you know, tell us your background.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Well, I was born in Seattle, Washington, and, you know, I spent my formative years, a few of them anyway, in Santiago, Chile. My father one day drove up and said, "We're moving to Chile." And all I could picture was a bowl of chili at age 4. I had no frame of reference. So off we went to Santiago, Chile, where my father had a fishing company. And we were to live there a total of 6 years. And so I became, you know, installed in that culture, which was a beautiful culture that I still visit and love today. So I learned about, you know, being a free child, meaning, you know, my parents were busy and I was just kind of allowed to have a lot of freedom in my life at a young age. I was a joyful child, and living in Chile was wonderful. And then my parents divorced, and my mother brought my brother and I back to Seattle to finish our education. And then I was part of a single parent household. You know, my mom was raising us, and I had to fly back and forth to Chile to visit my father. He would come visit us, but I think we spent more time on planes going to visit him. You know, at a very young age, we had to get across the world on an airplane, my brother and I, very young. So that was the beginning of my story, was learning about freedom and alignment, because I'd spent so much time by myself, you know, being a mother, having a mother that worked, and really having to navigate my young years myself. My mom was great, don't get me wrong, but I really had to find out about freedom, you know, quite early. And as the years went by, you know, I suddenly found myself at age 24, having lost my mother, my brother, my grandfather, my father and my grandmother in 3 years' time. And I found myself alone. So that was my core family that, through, you know, life circumstances, they were gone. And I decided that I was going to put myself on a path of reinventing who I was, because at age 24, I really didn't like what I saw and what I was feeling within myself on who I was. And I thought, well, I have no one now to guide me, so I'm going to create this journey for myself. So that's kind of in a nutshell, 0 to 24, Steve.
So the name of the book is The Art of Blissful Parenting. Love that word, blissful. And we're going to dive deep into it. But just to start us off, give everybody an overview of what the book is about.
Okay, well, first, allow me to say that anyone who has been a parent knows that every moment in parenting is not blissful, and I really don't believe it's supposed to be blissful. My title really wants to convey that you can have more bliss in your parent-child relationship than maybe you have right now. You know, at any given, every age offers different stresses in parenting. And so my book is really giving parents the tools to navigate those stresses through our own internal guidance system, which is our inner compass, our inner heart. You know, my core message to parents is alignment is first. We can't be effective parents if we're not in alignment. So I really start with coaching parents on finding and maintaining their own alignment in life so they can, one, find their own best answers, and two, be able to really parent their children from their highest place and be able to teach their children how to follow their own internal guidance. Because we each came with our own personal compass, our own heart, gut, you know, those feelings we have, but always offer us our best and highest answers. And in order to have access to those answers, we have to be in alignment. And so that's what I start my book out with, is really coaching the parents, is really getting comfortable with our own internal guidance system so we can trust our children. Trust as in really allowing them to use their own. Because we stop allowing them to use their own when we don't trust that they have one or that they can make their own best decisions. But we're going to be in a place of fear when that happens. When we stop allowing our children to use their guidance, we know we're in fear. So it's just about navigating and managing life's different situations and how we can tap into ourselves to help our kids.
Well, and I think that it's especially true for parents who also run a business, because, you know, a business can often be like a little baby, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like having a whole bunch of kids and then having your business as a whole bunch of kids, too. So it is a real definite juggle. Does the book talk about, you know, creating bliss in both of those situations?
Well, you know, finding our internal guidance system applies to every subject in our life, whether, you know, it's business or other relationships, you know, every interaction with those we love or the work that we do, it applies across the board. And, you know, in our really busy lives, most of us are juggling children and jobs. And sometimes we have to do our job when our children are around. So going back to what I said earlier, you know, really making that choice that your own personal alignment is paramount, because you are not going to be able to inspire and guide anyone when you're out of alignment. And so in order to have a positive effect on those around you, which in that case would be your children or the people you work with, alignment is key, is finding and maintaining and making that choice that feeling good is your highest priority, because only then are you going to be able to offer your best guidance. Only then are you going to be able to inspire your children, you know, to be their best selves and not be reacting to your crazy energy if you're not out of alignment. And I'm sure we've all found as parents, you know, what we're feeling is what our children are reacting to. We don't even have to be saying anything. What we're feeling is how they behave so much of the time. So it's really being aware of what we're emitting in our feelings and thoughts in our children, in their environment.
How many times have your children come up to you and said, "Mommy, Daddy, what's wrong?" And you're, of course, going to say, you know, "Oh, nothing." They know. They know that you've had a bad day at work. They know that things are difficult. You know, maybe you're having financial issues, whatever the case may be. Children intuitively understand when there are issues in the household, in your life, and they internalize those kind of things. And so it's important for us to really, truly be in tune with what's going on with us on the inside, so that we then can bring the best version of ourselves to the table and really allow our children to shine and also ourselves to shine. Think about that while we take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife Sharon had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window. A window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realize there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I appreciate you spending the time with us. I'm here with Sharon Ballantyne, and we are talking about the art of blissful parenting. We talked about a little bit in the last segment about the things that we can do to be in align with our best self so that our alignment is ringing true with the things that we're saying to our children, and so that we can then help them become aligned to their best self. And so we want to dive deeper now into the true art form that can be parenting and how you can live successful both in your life as well as a parent.
So you used a lot of really powerful words in this book, you know, in the title, The Art of Blissful Parenting. You know, I mean, we could break down several of those words, especially the word art and the word blissful. Give us a clear definition for you. How do you define bliss?
I define bliss as that joyful space where all is well. You know, that place kind of outside of time where your level of feeling good is just paramount. It's really hi. And I think we love our children more than anything in the world. And excuse me, to be able to reach that level, and you're not going to live there every day, and I'm not saying you should or could, but to truly have that level of bliss in your relationship, even if it's just in the big picture with your kids, really, I think is what every parent would love to have. But there are ways to get it, because if we are going to be reactive in our environment, we're not going to be feeling blissful. And if we're not feeling blissful, we can't create a blissful environment.
Well, the second time I've heard you use the word reactive, and one of the basic principles that we teach in business is the difference between responding and reacting. You know, a reaction is something that is you out of control, is the best way I can say it. You know, I mean, you are allowing the outside world to dictate the way that you act rather than responding, where you take in the outside stimulus, whatever that is, parenting, your business, whatever, and you then decide how you're going to react. And that's so impactful, you know, and so needed, especially when you're talking about with kids, yeah. Especially when those moments come up in the middle of your busy work day. So what are some secrets to really responding appropriately as opposed to, you know, the reactions that are so easy to come?
It's really true. I had to do a lot of work within myself and in my, you know, deliberate parenting to you know, get out of the habits of reacting, because in my kids' early years, I was reactive. It was kind of my personality at the time, and I didn't really realize that I had a choice. So it was my evolution as a parent that, you know, I was able to clearly make that choice to respond and not react. And I do believe it's a choice, but you have to know that you have a choice. So my first job really is to teach parents that you do have a choice in reacting and responding. And I'm always going to go back to square one, which is, to me, it is that alignment. You know, when we're feeling great, when we've done our own inner work and taken care of ourselves, it's so much easier to take that deep breath and choose how we're going to respond. You know, when we're stressed, whether it's about work or any other aspect in our life, it's so easy to react. It's so easy to just forget that deep breath, forget that you have a choice, and just react to, you know, whatever your child is, you know, putting out there. So it's a training. It's a practice, Steve. It's a practice every day of our lives, every day of our parenting is making that choice. And it all starts with, in the early time of parenting, that intention for what you want in your parenting, that intention for who you want to be. And then it's taking every day, every moment that comes up and making that choice. But you have to be in alignment to be able to even know you have that choice, to remember you have that choice.
So I'd like to move out of the conceptual into some really practical helps here. And a couple of things that first come to my mind is, again, talking to business owners, especially women in business who are working from home. You know, you talked about the whole concept of really taking the time to find your center, and that as opposed to living stressed out. But yet, especially when your kids are young, that's a very stressful situation. So how do you make the time as a young mom with small children to find your center? What can you do practically?
Well, practically, you have to start with it being deliberate, with being an intention, you know, intending and really knowing that we aren't going to be an effective parent if we don't feel good. So it's really about priorities. You know, we want to be the best parent that we can be at any age. I don't care if they're newborn, 2 or 14. We have to be the priority. Why? Because we want to be the best parent. And if we don't make ourselves the priority in carving out that time, and, you know, we can do that in a few minutes. We don't have to get on a plane every week to go to a beach. You know, we can figure out what makes us happy, what pleases us, what puts us into alignment, and make sure selfishly that we accomplish that, that we get that time, that we make that time so we can be the kind of parents we want to be.
So another specific I was thinking of, you know, whether somebody's listening to this live or they catch it years from now, there are those times throughout the school year when the kids are home as opposed to at school. And you know, and then there's also parents out there that they homeschool their kids, which is a whole nother added dimension to running your business. You know, what kind of things can we do to prepare ourselves for, we'll just use in this case, you know, the kids being home for summer vacation?
Right. Well, in a practical way, you know, aside from everything I've been talking about, is, you know, setting the boundaries for your kids and that expectation of how you expect or really would like them to behave or where they're going to be when you have to do your work. You know, I think what I found in any relationship in that I've had in my life, that if we're not clear, if we don't have that communication, other people aren't going to know what we want. You know, it's having good communication skills is essential, whether it's your spouse or your friend or your children. So it's communicating to your children the boundaries and the expectations of what you would like to see. And then knowing full well that you don't actually have control over whether that's going to happen. And we as parents, you know, our life experience has shown us that we can set all of our parameters and how we want our children to behave. And much of the time they are going to do what they're going to do. They're kids, and we just don't have control over much of what they do or how they behave. So then the time comes in to figure out how we're going to stay calm when they're going to be doing whatever it is that they're doing. But it has to start with that good communication. And it has to start with the moving on to the practical aspects of, if you really can't work with your children in your environment, then taking those steps to make sure that they are cared for separate from the space that you need.
And, you know, it's so important. We need boundaries. In fact, I even had a friend of mine the other day. She said that she's learning to create what she calls a sacred space for her work. And people know if the door's open, you can come in and see mom. If the door's closed, that means mom is doing something that you can't be interrupted. And that goes to what you were saying with clear communication.
Absolutely. That's a really good example, Steve. That's a great example. And then the kids know.
Yeah.
The kids know, and we can always hope that they will adhere to that.
And so I hope that everybody's catching the fact that in the end, as parents, it's so easy to get frustrated. Don't get me wrong. I have been there. At every age and every stage of my children's life, my oldest is like 32, I think she is this year now. You know, and the youngest is now 17, so no babies in the house anymore. Yay. but that frustration, we need to really stop and think for a minute, where is this coming from? Often, the truth of the matter is that we aren't clear in what we're doing, or we're trying to get down on their level. You know, we're trying to debate with a hormonal teenager about what they're feeling rather than just being safe and being secure in who we are. Imagine if you gave yourself the freedom to be safely, securely the adult who has rules, boundaries, and limitations, but also knows who they are and is comfortable being that person. Think about that, and we'll be right back on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. When my wife Sharon had her ovaries removed to prevent cancer, she was immediately thrown into early menopause. She needed estrogen to relieve her symptoms, but her doctors weren't sure if it was safe or if it would cause breast cancer. I had to know the truth. After years of research, I discovered there was an estrogen window, a window of opportunity to take estrogen that lowers disease risk and increases estrogen's effectiveness on symptoms. I realized there are millions of other women who are also confused and fearful of taking estrogen. That's why I wrote The Estrogen Window, which just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelp.com. youthrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and I'm here with Sharon Ballantyne. We are talking to you today about the art of blissful parenting. Some of you, I know every time I say that, you just breathe kind of a sigh of either A, total frustration. Yeah, right. I know what those days are like. I get it. Others of you are like, oh, blissful parenting sounds so wonderful. Is it actually possible? I hope you've been taking some notes and you've gotten some really great ideas of how you can bring bliss to your house and an understanding that it really is an art form to be a good parent. You know, the fact of the matter is, if you listen to enough people's stories, you're invariably going to hear stories from people whose parents were less than blissful, less than artful, let's say. And other people have had amazing parents. It's just the nature of things. There is no manuscript that says, if you do this and this, you will be a great parent. So hopefully you're getting some really great tips on how you can bring bliss into your house and how you can artfully parent your children throughout your life.
So I want to take it the other direction, you know, because I know that there are a lot of people out there that are listening. You've probably heard it from people, you know, when you're like in person talking to them about your book and stuff like that. What do you say to the people that very legitimately I have heard all we've said so far and are like, yeah, right. You don't know my kids. You don't know how crazy my household is. I don't think it's really practical to happen here.
Yes, I get that a lot. And I've lived that myself, you know, in teaching our children, you know, it really boils down to what kind of a practice that you want to have in your personal life and with your family. So I believe that the people that are really skeptical aren't ready to do the practice, because it takes effort and it takes being conscious and it takes deliberate. And so it's, I don't want to use the term a lot of work, because that doesn't sound fun, but it takes effort in creating what we desire with our kids, and it takes trust. And, you know, I lost that trust when I went into fear mode when my children went into their teen years. And so much of my message to parents is, we control when we are in fear because we don't know what the outcome can be, so we want to try and control it. And that never works. I found that not to work, and I found that I had to come full circle in my parenting to remember that my children do have their own internal guidance system, and that I needed to get back to allowing them to use it.
Hmm. I like that word, internal guidance system. You know, there is a phrase, and, you know, forgive the third generation minister in me, but in the Bible that says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And for a lot of years, back in my grandparents' day especially, that was very misused. It was, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child kind of an introduction. Uh-huh. Whereas yeah, the verse actually is talking about training them in the way that they should go, encouraging them to be the best version of themselves. They're a unique individual that has their own personality type, their own gifts and talents, their own likes and dislikes. And you need to encourage that in them rather than, like so many, you know, those of us especially that are older, we remember our parents' generation, our grandparents' generation, where there was a box that a child was supposed to be in. And this is exactly how you had to behave and who you had to be as a child. And if you weren't, you were just wrong. And that is so dangerous to our children.
It really is, and believe it or not, I mean, that is still prevalent today in many families. And I think that they, parents, try to control out of fear, out of wanting the best for their children. And so they, you know, have a specific idea of what that looks like, what the best life for their child is. And what I teach children and parents, and what I came to really allow my children to do was really follow their guidance. I used to tell my kids, you're going to have a lot of people in your life telling you what to do, you know, spouses, friends. I said, always listen to your own self. You came here for a very specific purpose. You need to listen to it. And that is, you know, we're not going to be with our kids when they leave the house. They need to be able to have their own strong internal guidance that allows them to go where they're meant to go. But again, it boils back to also having the tools of knowing how to stay in alignment, because they might go off with their guidance, but if they don't do the practice of feeling good, staying happy, doing those processes, they aren't going to be able to interpret and really hear those messages that are coming to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sharon, I do want to ask you, you are not proposing that there's no discipline or no rules for children.
No. Our household had rules, and we had discipline. Absolutely, we did. But we also know that we can set those rules, which I believe every parent should parent from whatever value system they have. And I don't tell any parent what value system that should be. We each have our own. But then the danger comes in when we expect our children, or demand in some cases, that they follow our value system and they do what we say. And that's where the trouble starts, is having that expectation. When the children don't follow through, then there's a problem. You know, it's created a problem. So I always encourage parents to teach their children whatever it is that is important to them that they would like their children to become, to be, to know, but not be attached to if that child actually does that, because we have no control over what our child wants to believe, what our child wants to do, or how they behave. Do you see the difference?
I do, and you know, that's quite a balancing act. I mean, what do you do in the situation where the way that your house runs, I mean, because somebody's got to be in charge. You know, you can't just have anarchy. Everybody go do whatever you want to do. You know, that would be a real mess real quick. What do you do when the child isn't in alignment with that, but they're still a child, whether they be 5 or they be, you know, whatever age we're putting on this?
Right, exactly. Please clarify it. They aren't in alignment with what?
With the core values of what you and your spouse, well, or you yourself, if you're a single parent, have determined are going to be the way that your house runs. You know, the beliefs, those kinds
of things.
Right.
I understand. Well, we can't spend too much time explaining our core values, really, to a young child. But our children watch how we behave, and they feel what we feel, and they become part of the system of how a household is run. So you really don't have to say a lot when they're quite young. They just kind of, you know, settle into the way your family life is. And then as children are ready, as children become, you know, a little more self-actualized, you can encourage them to, you know, when they ask a question or you want them to consider a behavior, ask them how it makes them feel. To engage. You know, young children in their friendships, that they're a huge deal to them. I used to ask my children, well, how do you feel inside when you're with that child or when you're doing that behavior with your friend? You know, it's really starting them on that path to tapping in to how they feel. And it's a great exercise, and it's really a lot of fun because, you know, the things they come up with and how things make them feel. But that is the first time, perhaps, they've really been able to be so deliberate about looking, you know, feeling their insides. And it will serve them for the rest of their lives as they continue that practice.
And I think it's important as parents that we understand that there are certain things that just are. You know, all of us, if we drive 100 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, are going to get a ticket. We may not like it. It may not make us feel good, but it just is, you know, the way things are. And as our children get older, we need to introduce to them the concepts of the difference between, you know, the core of who we are as individual people and the fact that we still do have to live in society. You know, everybody can't just have it all their own way. It'd be nice, but it just doesn't work that way. And I did want to cover one other thing real quick with you, Sharon. Many people may not know, but I actually worked for many years as a youth pastor. And one of the things that I used to challenge parents that really flies in the face, especially these days, of the typical thought process for teenagers, and that's that rebellion isn't a have to. That teenagers do have the capability of making choices. You know, that they just aren't predisposed to having to have to rebel against all of your rules, that they really do need to be given the opportunity to know that they have the freedom to make choices, but that they don't have to make their choices from a place of contention and stress and trying to control the world around them and all those other things that we were talking about us as parents learning. You know, we need to also empower them with that ability to really truly choose.
Absolutely. I'm in complete agreement with that. And I think we spend a lot of time in our family, you know, encouraging those choices and that you didn't have to rebel. I had one of my three children, they chose otherwise and they felt like they needed to rebel for their own personal reasons. You know, we could have talked ourselves blue in the face and we were supportive and talked to them about choices, but they made the choice to rebel. And then what do? Then you have to deal with that situation. You have to go with the flow and manage it in the best way that you can when you have a child that chooses the rebellion, because there are many, many out there that do. Mm-hmm. Then you have to make the best and try and make that a more easeful situation, which I believe that we did.
Mm. Well, and the key to that goes back to what you were talking about before, of you being in a joyful space yourself, being solid in who you are as a person, and then you just live a solid, happy life. And the child can make the choice to be a participating member of that family unit, just like we have to make the choice to be, you know, effective members of society. Or they can make the choice to miss out on, you know, just like, again, going back to my driving explanation, you know, if you drive improperly long enough, they're just going to take your driver's license away from you. It's not personal. It's not like they made that rule just to pick on you. It just is, you know, and when we can be calm in that, then we can really truly just have that blissful life, which is what we're hopefully helping people with today.
Well, you know, I think what we tried to do and what we did do is show our children and teach them that, okay, so especially our one child that did rebel, you know, and she lost one semester of credits in high school, which is a huge thing. That was her consequences for her rebellion. And what I tried to do at the time was tell her that, well, your life is not over. You do have a big picture and you have choices, and asking those important questions on, well, it looks like right now you won't be graduating with your class in high school. Do you want to? Do you want to? And the answer was yes. Well, this is what needs to be done if you want to accomplish that, is go to your senior year and go to junior year after school. That's what you have to do. And she did it because she was able to tap into that bigger picture desire that life is not over just because I made a really bad choice right now. I still have choices, and this is what I can do to get back on my path. You know, this was my child that ran away. We had to deal with that. And it was really a successful thing, meaning I allowed her to tap into her own guidance while she was going through that. I will always remember that, and it sounds funny, but as a positive experience, because that was my choice. I had to deal with what was, but I also had to trust her, and I had to trust myself. And it really was a beautiful growth experience for all of us. So it's really, life is going to happen, and our children are going to make the choices they make, no matter what we say, much of the time. And then how are we going to respond or react to that? That's what I believe really counts.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
One more quick commercial break here, and then we'll be right back with our last exciting segment that's going to give you some really hot tips that you can use so you can be a blissful, artful parent here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author, and now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Well, Sharon, I'm sure that there are people that would like to work in more detail with you, get your book, The Art of Blissful Parenting, or different things like that. How could a person connect with you and take this discussion further?
Well, thank you, Steve. SharonValentine.com is where I can be found. I'm also on, my book is available on Amazon.com. And so I can be easily be found in those areas. And I'm also on all social media, every social media, I'm there.
And so that's SharonBallentine.com, SharonBallentine.com. SharonBallentine.com. You can learn more about Sharon, learn more about The Art of Blissful Parenting. And of course, you can get her book, there at her website or at Amazon.com, The Art of Blissful Parenting. Well, Sharon, we've talked about a lot of different things today. And so I'm sure it's going to be a little bit more difficult for us to focus in on one thing, but let's try to leave the listeners with one specific thing that they could do right now, you know, today, to begin to really embrace blissful parenting.
Find a way to really tap in to that energy with your child, to really be in the moment, to stop the busyness and look into the eyes of your child and stop long enough to just hear what they're saying. So much of the time we get put ourselves in the trap of just doing. We have to accomplish for the family and get all of these things done. And we can forget how important it is to stop and look at our child and to just engage in that moment, whatever that moment is feeling like. That's where real communication and connection starts, has to start.
Absolutely. A lot of people know Kathy and I are sponsors for Motivating the Teen Spirit that Lisa Nichols created and her organization still runs. And they gave a great piece of advice at the last event we were at. They said, rather than fighting with your child when they're in one of those less than blissful moments, let's call it that, to look at them and simply use the phrase, you look like you're really dealing with something right now. How can I help?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought that was just so powerful because it's like, you know, if you can remove yourself from the chaos and bring in calm and offer solutions. Now, yeah, sometimes they're not in a place where they can, you know, talk solutions. All of us get to that place where we just need to express the feeling we're having. So let them express the feeling, but then ask them, okay, so how can I help?
And most of the time they're not expecting to hear that. You know, especially if they've been in used to conflict. So it's really a beautiful thing for a child to feel supported. And it's so necessary for us as the adults, as the parents, to find a way to get to that higher level and not be down at that low energy level of conflict, because all of us know that nothing productive in that moment can, it's very difficult to fight conflict to conflict and be productive. Mm. So I agree with you.
Yeah. Being a business owner is difficult. Being a parent is difficult. Putting the two together in the same household is more than two times difficult.
Yes.
But I really do encourage you, everybody that's listening, if you can get to a place where you are comfortable in your own skin and then just be the best version of yourself. More than anything, that is the best tool. We won't call it a weapon. have for all of the chaos that is in all of our lives. I mean, it's not like we're sitting here telling you, and then from then on, I had no more chaos in my life.
Right. Yes. Yes. And you're absolutely right, Steve. That is the only way that we can guide and inspire our children, because they watch and feel us a lot more than they listen to us. Mm. And so they need to witness us living our best life so they are inspired to create their own.
Yeah, remember always, more is caught than taught. People, we always say, do as I say, not as I do. You know, you've heard that phrase a million times. But the truth of the matter is that the things that we do will be imitated, you know, both by the people that work for us as well as by our children. And if we don't want them doing that, then we really need to ask ourselves, well, then why are we?
Absolutely. And our children will always call us out on the inconsistencies that they are witnessing. I remember through the years, my children would, I couldn't get away with anything, and I wasn't really trying to. I was just kind of probably reacting. And they would call me out, and I would have to say, you know what, you're absolutely right. This isn't fair, or, you know, whatever the situation was. They're always listening and watching to what's happening. And so we have to be diligent. I'm going to say easefully diligent, because it doesn't feel very good to think you always have to be on your guard, because that's not the case, nor would that be fun. So it's just always paying attention to what we're emitting and who we're being, especially around our kids.
Sharon, thank you so much for spending the time today to help us bring some calm, peace, and more importantly, bliss into our households as entrepreneurs who happen to also be parents, or parents who happen to also be entrepreneurs, whichever way you want to look at that.
Well, thank you. It was really my pleasure to be here, Steve.
Sharon Ballantyne, the name of her book is The Art of Blissful Parenting. You can get it on Amazon, or you can check it out at SharonBallantyne.com.
I'm so glad that you got a chance to be able to do that. You know, sometimes people ask me, they're like, well, what does this have to do with being a thriving entrepreneur? But, you know, let's be honest, most of us that are entrepreneurs are also parents. And often it's the chaos in our homes, in our lives, that is what's really keeping us from thriving. And I want you to thrive in every aspect of your life and your business. And so I love bringing people like Sharon to you to be able to really help you zero in on one particular aspect, in this case, parenting, to really find a way in every bit of your life to thrive, because I really want that for you. Got to give a shout out to my amazing wife, Kathy. Most of you know Kathy. She is so incredible, and she does what she does every day so that I have the opportunity to be able to interview people like Sharon and to help people write their books and stuff like that. Kathy working the marketing end of Kid Marketing allows us to be able to come into your home and really help change the world. We love working with change agents and helping them shape the course and the destiny of the world. It's such a privilege, and I love the opportunity to be able to work with my amazing wife. Can't say enough about her. So I have to, every episode, give a shout out to her. Like I tell everybody, you know, above and beyond any other sponsor that we have for the show, ultimately, Kathy is the best sponsor we could possibly have. She comes every day with new insightful information in our group, bestsellersguild.com. You can join that. It's a free Facebook group. Just ask to join. We'd love to have you there. Again, that's bestsellersguild.com. Well, I want to wrap things up here. I appreciate you sticking to the end with us. Sometimes the juiciest tidbits are right here at the very end, and I encourage you, if you've had to jump off of an episode, our lives happen, I get it totally, go back and listen to the ends of some of the shows. There have been some really amazing things that the guests say right at the end that help us out, and you know, every once in a while I even get inspired, and hopefully I've brought some good things to you too. As I'm wrapping the show up, I really love these few minutes that I get at the end here to really just let you know how incredibly awesome I believe that you are. Whether we've met before or you're just simply listening to me on terrestrial radio or through the web, you know, we're available on all of those, and we want to make ourselves and our message as available as possible because we want you to thrive. I love the opportunity to come into your life and shine a light into how amazing you are, because you are totally a worthwhile, awesome, incredible person. So thank you for being you. I want you to know that you are uniquely brilliant. It's not a matter of, you know, well, everybody else does what I'm doing. You specifically are uniquely brilliant because you were created for a purpose. There's nobody else like you, and you do a great job of being you. The world needs you to shine and be the best you that you can be every day of your life. Kathy and I are here to help you thrive. That's why our website is We Help You Thrive. We love helping you thrive every day so that you can live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelp, youthrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.